Welcome. So tonight I'd like to explore with you the judgmental mind. So just out of curiosity, does anyone ever feel like their mind is judgmental? Right? Yeah? Anyone feel like that's a predominant part of their experience? Yeah? What about other people? Do you ever notice people's judgment toward yourself? You know, it's actually such a pervasive pattern. I think it's important just to notice how many nods there were about the judgmental mind and how common that is. Because when we're judging, feeling that sense of judging ourselves, we take it very personal. And there's something about me that needs to be judged. There's something about you that I need to judge. But because I think everyone in their room nodded their head, there's such a pervasive quality, you start to see that it's not so personal. It's almost this environment or the sea that we swim in. So that's one, the first step is trying to take away the personal edge to it, that this means something about me. There's something wrong with me, something wrong with you. Now the judgmental mind, when it's active, whether it's your own mind or feeling someone else's judgment, it's very intense. You know, the emotions get triggered, it starts to change our physiology, our heart rate starts to increase, our breathing rate. There's a whole cascade of hormones that go through our body in response to this sense of being judged. There's something wrong with me. Judging ourselves internally or judging someone else. And just for a moment, reflect on, you know, all the times that you've judged yourself. Just letting that into the heart for a moment. All the pain and the suffering that comes from that pattern. Also reflecting on all the judgment you give into other people, to your loved ones, to your friends, to strangers. And what does it feel like when you feel judgment from someone else, that how you are is not okay, is not up to par? Now, when we reflect on this pain, we really start to touch into the suffering of this mind state, of this really this attitude toward life. And that starts to orient us into the heart, out of the mind, out of the realm of thinking and opinion, into this quivering of the heart into response to this pain and this suffering. That starts to orient us into right view. This is really actually an important step here. Because whatever we approach investigation or a state like this, if we go from our normal way of judging it, we just find more ways to judge ourselves, right? Okay, now I find out really how bad judgment is, so I'm gonna judge myself even more. But if we connect with the pain of this quality, our heart becomes involved. We're shifting literally into the heart center, into the sense of caring that there's pain being evoked, being caused by this pattern. Because the heart sees from interconnection, you know, wants to see the end of suffering, wants to see the easing of our suffering and others' suffering. If we don't do that, we tend to lead with the mind, with thinking. We may try to apply wisdom, but the judgmental mind is really embedded in thought. So when we think about it, thought, it kind of co-opts the very investigation itself. Because the judgmental mind forms this primary perspective, this primary way of looking at the world when it's really active, that colors and shapes everything that we perceive. It actually alters our way of perceiving to conform with that quality of judgment. So without the heart, we find more and more subtle ways to judge ourselves and to others. I'm lost in judgment, and that's bad. I shouldn't judge myself. And you can hear that there's the judgment going on in that very statement. So having the heart lead this investigation, this inquiry, helps to short circuit the quality of the mind getting too involved, getting too heavy with it. Because, you know, the heart really trembles with the sense of suffering, the trembling of the heart in response to pain. And it starts to give us this courage to set it aside, to set aside judgment in a different way than trying to force it or trying to judge it away. So as we explore this quality of the judgmental mind, keep contact with your heart, coming back to that simplicity of the moment. Because in the heart, when it's really connecting with the moment, it's very simple. It's very quiet. It's very still. When we go into the mind, there's more elaboration, more details, more noise. So letting that be a guide as we explore this evening. So we know how painful judging can be, you know, toward ourselves, toward others, being judged. But why can't we just stop it? Right? If it hurts, what purpose does it have? Why can't we just set it aside? Like picking up a hot rock and feeling ourselves get burned, we don't keep picking up that rock. But there's some reason we keep going through this pattern. It's almost like we're trapped inside it. We give meditation instructions in a class or a retreat. We often start off with this non-judgmental awareness. Just meeting whatever your experience is without judgment, without preference, just allowing it to be just as it is. And that's, in some ways, it's one of the hardest things we can ask a student to do, is just to connect with the moment experience without trying to change it, without trying to judge it. So this theme of the judgmental mind is not a light theme. It's a very deep one. Because stop being so judgmental. Have you ever heard that? I should stop being judgmental. It sounds easy, like changing your haircut or changing your clothes. You know, I could just stop it. But it goes so much deeper, doesn't it? Have you ever tried that? Because it's a very deeply entrenched, very well rehearsed habit of mind. Because releasing this judgmental mind is much more than just changing our thinking. It's much more than just having a positive attitude toward life. It really asks us to fundamentally change or release the position that's represented by the judgmental mind. To release this position that we take. And by releasing this position, it's really very much tied in to this sense of self, this sense of separation that we view the life, our life through the life of ourselves, through others, the sense of distinction, separation. It's asking us to step outside of that position. So this judgmental mind, it's not like a simple fix, because it does have such deep roots, often way back into our childhood, how we learn to relate, you know, through our parents, through their, you know, how they learn to relate through their parents. So this kind of transmission of judgment. There's the whole, you know, Judeo-Christian background that we live in this culture. I remember the Dalai Lama was once asked about this sense of self-hatred that we as Westerners have, and the person kept having to ask the question because he just didn't understand that. Because that, from his culture, that's not one of their woundings or one of the perspectives. You know, from the Western mind, it's so integral to our spiritual practice, learning to come to terms with this and to heal it, to release it. So he finally said, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. Right? But only if he knew our minds, then he would know. So this sense, this willingness to question, to understand this much deeper position or perspective, it's almost like, think of it as a place of residence that we've taken hold in, that this is where I'm living, this is where I'm coming from in the world. And everything is kind of shaped by that residence. In the Dhammapada, there's a famous verse, throughout the round of many births, I roam without reward, without rest, seeking the house builder. Painful was birth again and again. House builder, you're seen. You will not build a house again. All your rafters broken, the ridge pole dismantled. Immersed in dismantling, the mind has attained the end of craving. So from the Dhammapada. So the sense of painful birth again and again, you can think of it very much as when we take birth in self-hatred, in judgment. That's a form of taking birth in the moment. And we do that again and again. So when we start to see the mechanism of building that house, things start to fall away. And that's the primary task for us as seeking on the spiritual path, is to understand this house builder, to understand how it develops and how it is dismantled, how it's released. So often first trying to see this house that we reside in can be a good first step, this mechanism of building. And also the foundations of these houses that we construct. We're looking at judging mind, but we can also look at different types of mind states that come up, fear, anger. We think of a house, you know, it has the sense of keeping the rain off, sheltering us from the elements. So it's helpful to look at this state of judgmental mind. How does it shelter us? What is it protecting us from? What's its purpose? You know, why? What is the purpose of the judgmental mind? It keeps coming back again and again. I was lucky enough to take a family vacation after many years to England, and so we saw some castles. And these old castles, some of them are very much in disrepair and just rubble, piles of rubble, basically. Other ones are well maintained, and you can still really get a sense of you know, the power of the castle, you know, the way it was there for defense and for attack. And also there's a sense of the oppression of the Welsh people or Irish people or whoever might be in that area. And so we look at the judgmental mind, it is like a castle that we've constructed in our it's so well buttressed, so well defended. Sometimes I talk to a student about their judgmental mind, and you can hear that they're listening, but there's a way that they're still very much oriented within those castle walls. It's like the mechanism of building it, the judgmental mind has this closed loop of logic. It's like it's self-contained. So any input goes in, gets reinterpreted from that internal logic. It's like if you're trying to talk to someone in a castle and you say, well, why don't you come out of that castle? And they might just shift to a different tower or a different turret and say, okay, I've shifted, is that enough? Or maybe go into the castle and open up some, make some windows and put some tapestry. But there's still the rock that's still very much intact. The reason I like this analogy is that to really shift out of the judgmental mind means we have to shift fundamentally out of this position that we take. It's not about simply beautifying our minds or making our minds more pleasant. That can be a helpful step. But there's this fundamental quality of shifting out of the castle itself, shifting out of that state of position. So often we do work with it, you know, from a sense of making it more hospitable, making it more soft, having the drawbridge down more often, those kind of things. So we become, you know, more easy to go through life, more socially responsible, or more socially acceptable, I should say. You know, therapy can help with these kind of qualities. But that's where the Dharma comes in. It's not about changing the house. It's about really dismantling the house and seeing that the house is something that we actually holds us in our state of suffering. As the Buddha said, seeing the house builder, I have seen you. So how do we work with this judgmental mind? How do we explore it and open to it? So first, leading off with the heart is essential. You know, perhaps you can have already see that the mind starts to come in, like, oh, here's something else I need to fix. I need to change about myself, right? There's this orientation that's very subtle, but it's so pervasive because we're so used to being within the confines of that castle. So leading with the heart, it's like this willingness to really have a very different relationship to our minds, to our experience. Because if we don't do that, we're going to be judging the judgment. So this helps shift or set a very important perspective and helps us shift out of this closed logic loop, out of the world of thought, into the heart. So as we talk for the rest of this evening, keep coming back into that heart. Coming back into the body is also another way to say it. you know, how is this felt in the body in this moment? You know, how is judgment showing up? How is the resistance to what's being said, or the sense of resonance? How is that being felt in the body? And the sense of just knowing, you know, okay, I'm getting bored, or I'd rather be someplace else, or how much longer is he going to talk? All those thoughts arise, and just simply notice them. You know, practice being non-judgmental of your moment's awareness. Now, once we have this orientation of the heart, so we're not judging the judgment, we start to connect with the actual state, you know, very simply, very directly. You know, what is, when you're feeling that sense of judgment, even right now in your own body, something you judge about yourself or about your life, shifting out of the content into the actual felt sense of the judgment in your body. Where does it reside? You know, is it a changing shape? Is it a changing sensation? Just learning to connect with that very directly, very simply. This is actually one of the hardest things for us to do, because we're so trained and so conditioned that when judgment arises, we have to do something about it. I have to go and fix you, I have to fix myself, to go fix the environment, fix these other things. So discernment, you know, is a part of it, but let's set that aside. But just this very quality of having to do something with our moment's experience. It's like if we had, you know, trouble with addiction, you know, until we were able to set aside the addictions to stop using, we won't feel the impact of that addiction. We won't feel what we're avoiding feeling. And so judgment is that same quality of learning to connect with it without having to act from it. And it's often not a sense of, by doing that, it feels like a relief. It actually makes it more intense, because you see the action helps to kind of bleed off some of the energy, helps to dissipate it. That's why we act on it so much. But to just go in the heart of feeling it directly, it allows us to start to penetrate with our awareness and our insight into it, to see really what's been covered up. And when we truly start to do this, really, truly start to connect with this quality of judgment without acting from it, and are able to stay present and conscious in that moment of connection, we may start to eventually actually question the state itself. It's like, you know, why, this is a painful quality. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep adding on to this? Keep doing it over and over again. Because often we have a sense of really knowing that judgment is painful, judgment hurts us, hurts others, but we are still kind of looking at it kind of with one eye. You know, we haven't fully opened to it completely, to really let it in, because we're really judging it as it's happening. If we release the judgment of itself, this judgmental mind, we start to see it much more clearly, much more directly. So we might start to ask, why do I keep doing this painful thing? Asking from a sincere way, not a judgmental way, not a self-criticism, but just a sense of curiosity. When we do that, we start to sense some of the underlying tendencies that become the foundations for judgment, like the foundation of a house that we've built. So to do this takes a certain level of balance of mind, a certain equanimity, a sense of acceptance of the state of judgment. It also is a quality of not being so enamored with the judgment. Enamored being, I really get obsessed with what I'm judging, who's judging me, and how we get so tied into it. So there's a quality of kind of cooling that process down so we can feel it without having to be so caught in it. And when we do that, it's something interesting happens. It's like if you've ever watched a magician who's doing like a card trick, and usually they're distracting you, say, you know, look at this, and they're really slipping a card someplace else, this sleight of hand. All right, so we start to, by watching it, judgment in this way, we can start to see the sleight of hand that our minds are doing. You know, what is the trick that's not being seen? is often with a judgmental mind, the first distraction that we do is the thing we're judging. You know, I'm judging the way I'm talking or the way I'm being in this situation. That's what I focus on. I don't focus on the actual quality of judging. Or I'm judging what my daughter is doing or my wife is doing. And that becomes the focus, trying to fix them, trying to make them do what I think is the right thing. So that's the magician saying, look at this, instead of looking at where the real trick is. And usually we stay lost there, and that's really being caught in this closed logic of the mind, of this judgmental mind. It's being caught in the castle and thinking we're secure and protected, but at the same time we're not free. We don't realize how trapped we are. And the second distraction is the actual experience of judging, of being judged. Because it, you know, it feels so bad, you know, that we don't, it's so awful. Why would I, it must be real. So there's a sense of being very convinced. My heart rate is increased. I can feel my hormones just increasing. So there's a sense of significance that our physiology puts upon it. But if we're able to just experience that without moving from it, we can see the sleight of hand underneath. We're starting to shift our gaze from the hand to actually seeing the trick. This is starting to be able to see the deeper foundations of this house or castle, of this really deeply entrenched position. And we start to become surprised because we see that there's actually a payoff, a tremendous payoff for being judgmental. As we think of it, this is something I just don't want. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to have any more thing to do with it. We see that there's this payoff, then our minds start to really open to it. We start to release it. We start to not be so distracted by it. Because you shift from the trick of judging, the thing we're judging, to the underlying foundation. And that can be very helpful because it's such a strong thing to try to go right into that castle, to try to pull the person out of it is hard. We can see, okay, instead of looking at the castle, look at the foundation that the castle was built upon. So here's three underlying patterns of this foundation. And these are ones that, you know, may resonate, may not resonate, but see how they land. So control, certainty, and a sense of distinctness or separation. These are three underlying foundations that judgment is built upon. And actually, more than built upon, judgment helps to reinforce that. Underneath that sense of reinforcement is our sense of self. You know, the sense of control, the sense of being certain, knowing how things are, the sense of things being distinct or separation. Those are all mechanisms or footsteps of the sense of self, the actions of the sense of self. So it may be hard to see this sense of self, how it forms. But the actions, kind of the expression of it, you can get a handle on it. When you start to get a handle on these expressions of that, you can start to release it, understand it, and then release it. So the first one, the sense of control or power. So judging, the judgmental mind is actually a very strong place of control and of power. When we're judging ourselves, let's say, you know, there's a sense of we're set up who's the victim. You know, there's something about me that needs to be fixed or something that's inadequate, something I'm ashamed of, sets up a sense of fear. So it's like this quality of mind sets up all these things. If you judge someone else, you know, it triggers the whole dynamic. If you have a group of people, you know, one person's going to be the victim, one person's going to be maybe a rescuer, and it's all going to come in and try to fix things. But it's really set in motion by the sense of, you know, I am deciding that you're not doing well, or that you are doing well. I remember reading a long time ago that the average person, when they're upset with the business, tells 19 other people. And if you're happy, you might tell 7 other people. So there's this huge ratio of judging that we're really biased in our nervous system to seeing what's wrong, what's not working, and we like to tell everybody about it. Right? this quality of control. If you ask yourself, okay, what is this benefit for judging? You know, again, from that quiet state of leading with the heart, connecting with the body sensations of the judgment, what is the benefit? You can say, okay, there's a sense of being in control, of being in power. And often you can see it more when you challenge yourself, what would I have to give up to not be judgmental? What would I have to release to not be judgmental? Right, so it really puts it more on the table there. So when I release, when I think, I contemplate that, and I release the sense of power and control, or release judgment, and the power and control comes up, there's a sense of disorientation, a sense of fear, a sense of not quite knowing where I am. It's like that that movie, I think it's King of Hearts, when the people in the insane asylum were suddenly released, and they go out, and then they decide to go back in. And they close the door because there's a sense of security within those walls. So this points to this edge of our practice of groundlessness, of releasing our positionality. So we release our position of where we take hold. And judging and that power that comes from that is a very strong position. So sometimes when you're feeling judgmental, shift your gaze to the sense of wanting to be in control. Okay, you know, my wife is just not doing the dishes right or something. Okay, that sense of, if I don't say anything, if I just release that, I have to let go of this quality of control. In that letting go of that quality of control, I'm also letting go of the investment in my sense of self that forms around that. Letting go of that formation of the house, that positionality. That sense of letting life unfold as it will, without our influence, without our control. And don't go into like, okay, all the big things you have to do in your life, or the trying to rectify global warming and all these big issues, but just going back to this really, this moment-by-moment experience. What would happen if you did absolutely nothing with this very moment's experience? Just this breath. Just this sensation. Just this sound. And notice how there's a willing of stillness that comes up from that. There's a deep stillness that is outside of the world of judgment. Simply allowing it to be just as it is. And the more we become touched in touch with that, we can call it forth throughout our day. You know, sometimes we have to kind of walk our way through, okay, I'm really judgmental, I got to feel my body. Okay, I'm judging. And then there's a sense of wanting control, I connect with that, and then I can walk my way through. Sometimes there's a sense of simply calling forth that stillness. That's simply allowing the moment to be just as it is. Don't judge one as being better than the other. Because all of us have certain conditioning. It's like each one of us, we could bring the right conditions forth and our judgment would come up very strong, right? Other times we have very little judgment. Okay, so practicing in the moments when it's really easy, just this breath, just this sound, and just allowing that to, that sense of wanting to control, wanting to alter, letting that soften. That's the heart of judgment. And by doing that, we also start to soften this edge of who we are. You know, if I'm not in control, if I'm not judging, who am I? Where am I? As you become more and more comfortable with that sense of not knowing where I am, how I'm forming, you actually start to recognize it as a place of peace, a place of deep safety. At first it seemed like it's so unsafe because I'm so conditioned to doing that. But as I open more and more to it, I can see, okay, this is a place of safety, a place of release. So you can see judging mind really connects very deeply with the sense of self. To paraphrase Descartes, I judge, therefore I am. Right? I judge and I form the sense of me. I form the castle. The castle has a foundation. Control is one of those. So what is being defended against? What's being held up by this quality of control? It's just a sense of surrendering to the moment's unfolding, to the flow of life. Is that really so bad? You know, just to allow the moment to unfold as it will, allow yourself to be part of that unfolding versus having to always control it. Because the controlling doesn't work. We have a sense it works, but really the moment unfolds. If we really pay attention, it folds as it will. We're just constantly fighting against it. So we're letting go of the fight, setting down that battle. This is this first foundation of control, of power. The second one is certainty, a sense of knowing how things are. And judging, almost by definition, we know, okay, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, right? Sometimes we're on the, you know, the wrong side of it. I'm wrong, there's something I've done wrong. There's quality of shame and guilt, projecting outward, okay, you haven't done it right, or you have done it right. Since if I know the best way to do something, how the best way to be. So in this exploration, this sense of what's this difference between discernment and judgment. So discernment, we can think of it as the heart's really involved, the sense of knowing, the deep knowing of how, you know, what seems healthy, what seems helpful in this moment. It's a very simple knowing. While judgment has more of this deeper elaboration. Discernment has a less personal quality to it. You know, I don't prefer that to be around that person, but there's not a sense of pushing that person away, of judging them. The sense of certainty, this also, it's really interesting to look at this on a very almost microscopic or moment by moment level. Each moment arises, we want to know what it is. You know, that we hear the sound behind, okay, that's a train, and there's a sense of relaxing with that. I hear sound in the house in the middle of the night, oh, that's what that is, I can relax. So that sense of not knowing is actually, it's very irritating to the mind. You know, and so that sense of judgment, you can see how that flows from it, from knowing. If I know it, I can judge it. If I don't know it, I have to be open to it. One Dharma teacher described not knowing is to the mind as pain is to the physical body. Not knowing is to the mind as physical pain is to the body. So it's a sense of irritation, of hurt, of not liking this, not knowing. Right? So from not knowing, it's very hard to judge something. So you can see how that becomes an important foundation of the judgmental mind. So on the other hand, though, if we start to shift from knowing to not knowing, what do we give up the certainty, but instead we get a sense of great wonder, a great aliveness and intimacy with this moment's experience. When this breath arises, even though I've felt, you know, 100 breaths in this meditation period, what does this one breath feel like? What's this one sound? In ourselves, you know, how am I showing up? How am I waking up in this day? How am I showing up in this relationship? To our loved ones, to our friends, to strangers. This willingness to just meet them how they really are in this moment. This is the heart of releasing judgment. Maestro Eckhart, one of a mystic Christian poet, or Christian mystic, I should say, once he said, you know, he prayed to God, please release me of ideas of God. Help me release any idea of God. Because that sense of knowing God or wanting to know God, he knew kept him the furthest away from God. Same thing with awakening, with enlightenment. This idea of it keeps us distant from it. The sense of knowing it keeps us distant. Ajahn Chah, I believe, was a very popular Thai forest teacher, and many Westerners would come to learn from him. And he would say that you guys are like libraries coming. You have so much clutter in your heads, right? Because we have, you know, PhDs and masters and all this education. And he could see that it was a difficulty with practice, the willingness to be very simple and direct. Not to say you should, if you're going to grad school, you should stop that, but just simply this willingness to also develop this simplicity of relating to life. There's a sense of knowing is another foundation. And the third foundation is the sense of being distinct, of being special, of being unique. So in the judgmental mind, you know, you've noticed that you tend to rank and order. You know, my honor student is better than your honor student, or however that might show up. We're always comparing. I'm greater than, I'm less than, I'm equal to. The prairie home companion, where all the children are above average, right? So that sense of wanting to be better. And if you can't be better, at least I can be the worst. At least I have a distinction of being the least desirable. See how there's a sense of distinctness, of being something special, being specially great or specially bad. And it creates this place of residence. It creates a place of where we call as home. So that one is also, each one of these may have a certain resonance or a certain, you know, grabbing for you, you know, wanting to be in control, wanting to know, wanting to be distinct, you know, wanting to be separate. When we look at children when they first are born, there's no separation between them and their mother. You know, there's this one thing. And then they get to be two and they start to experiment. Okay, am I mom or am I something else? And they start to push boundaries and separate. And so there's this natural tendency of being together and being separate, that we learn that, right? And as we mature and become adults, we're in this place of separation. Okay, I'm not my parents, I'm not my mom. But then when that sense of separation, spiritual practice starts to bring that back in and question, is it really true? Can there be a mature non-separation, a mature unity as we come back together? So the sense of distinctness, its judgment is so based on the other, right? This is person is other than I am, whether it's their race, their gender, their orientation, their age, education, religion, political party. The other, it gets judged. The same gets not judged, or judged as being part of the package. So to really deepen in this process, there has to be a perspective that releases that. It's not perhaps an absolute releasing of it, that you're all going to go vote for Donald Trump now, but there's a sense of having a deeper perspective, a deeper reality, the relative reality and an absolute reality, that we see that there is this deep interconnection that we all come out of. The separation comes out of something that's not separate, and it falls back into that. Just notice it with sound. If you're really listening to the silence, a sound arises, and then it stops, and it falls back into the silence. It's like it arises and falls away. The falling away is just as important as the arising. So we're looking at these three foundations of control. So it asks us to surrender to the moment's unfolding. The sense of certainty, of knowing how things are, of labeling, of judging. There's a sense of opening to wonder. Distinctness, separation, opening to unity. So those really aren't so bad. It's not so bad. So when judgmental mind arises, see if you can connect with these deeper foundations, and maybe one of these three. It may be a different one that makes more sense to your own mind-body. And so finally, the practice comes very simply to abiding with this moment's unfolding, just allowing to be just as it is. You know, seeing that judgment, the judgmental mind is just a thought. It's just a very well-rehearsed pattern that we've taken up again and again and again. But when we see it just as thought, then suddenly we're no longer in the castle. We're no longer in that place of residence. These simple instructions, allowing experience to be just as it is. There's no need to alter it, to change it. I mean, we're serious about that. That's a very deep instruction. You know, take that to every moment that arises, every aspect of yourself. Kind of allow this moment to be just as it is. Yeah, sure, I may still need to make choices in my life, how which direction I'm going overall. But this cultivate this quality of moment by moment, allowing it to be just as it is. Practice very simply. Practice with this sound, this sensation. And when judgment grips, you know, leave with the heart, understand it. And judgment constantly comes between this sense, simple abiding. That sense of when it comes and inserts itself, that's a learning in itself. When I want this sitting to be over, I want this leg pain to change. Wanting this breath to be other than it is. And so as we relax into the moment, we truly allow it to be, we're surrendering this position, surrendering this house, this place of residence. And just a lot of the castles on the coast of Ireland are just very, almost just ruins. And they've forgotten why they were built. Yeah, so the judgmental mind, you can still feel the outline of it at times, but it's no longer a place where you live. A place of orientation. And so the house builder gets sane. And there's this sense of deep release. All right, let's just sit quietly for a moment or two. Through the round of many births, I roam without reward, without rest, seeking the house builder. Painful was birth, again and again. House builder, you're sane. You will not build a house again. All your rafters broken, all the ridgepole dismantled. Immersed in dismantling, the mind has attained to the end of craving. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. So we have some time for questions or comments, you know, about this topic or other topics, things coming up in your practice. Yes. Okay, so Sarah Lee wants to know more about the difference between discrimination, discernment and judgment, right? So discernment is the sense, it's really, you could think of it as this balance of wisdom and compassion that's really, really clearly sees, like this is hurtful, or this is harmful, or this is helpful, this is leading toward freedom. There's a sense of deep knowing. While judgment has this whole kind of emotional, mental, driven really from our it's not clear seeing. It's because judgment has such an overlay from our past history, our conditioning, our trauma, our wounding, that gets laid over what we judge. While discernment has a much cleaner, more present day, present moment expression of it. So it feels, it just is a sense of knowing. It's like that, I think Christians talk about that still quiet voice inside. You know, you just know that, you know, that's not the right choice. There's not a lot of argument, a lot of need to say much about it. You just simply know. While judgment, it's like, I've got to let you know why that's bad. I need to know why that's not a good idea, or why I'm, you know, what I'm doing is not. There's this whole heaviness around it. So it may be the exact same thing. You know, the actual point of content may be very similar, but it's this whole overlay of judgment that makes it so complex and so unhelpful. Does that help? Yes. Space between? Yes. Yeah, so when you're exploring it, it can be a great moment of inquiry. And when you find yourself, okay, I just don't like this. Okay, just be still with it, be quiet with it. By doing that, you start to open to what's going on in the mind and body. And you may find that, okay, there's a part that's definitely discerning here. It's saying, this I don't like this. This isn't helpful for me or for someone else. And then there's all this reactivity that may be built upon it. You might say that it's like discernment plus reactivity becomes judgment. And we subtract. I just made that up, so I'm not sure if that's, yeah. Bringing in, yes. Yes. Yeah, when there's a lot of reactivity, you know, discernment is really covered over. And often if you watch, there's this moment, maybe when something first happens, there's a clear moment, yeah, this is not what I like, or this is what I like. And then quickly over that, we lay all this reactivity, elaboration, you know, worry, I got to do something about this. And we start to really shift into judgment. And while the sense of discernment, it's like, yeah, it's not the right time for this, or this is not. There's also a sense of openness to the future. Discernment kind of knows that there's not, this is how this moment is, but the future may be different. While judgment, it's like, you know, you're a bad person and you're always going to be a bad person. You know, there's this way of closing up, really hardening around it, building this castle wall. A discernment's like, yeah, right now that's not the right choice. But the future it might be. Things might change. Conditions may change. So you see how there's a fluid quality of discernment. Judgment is kind of hardened. Okay, thank you. Yes? Okay.
And so tolerance is a very important culture aspect of character that is tied into tolerance to be able to accept acceptance without change. I just find that very helpful aspect of tolerance.
Okay, so the comment is from the Zen tradition. Like in the Paramis, and tolerance is an important aspect of that, and it seems to tie in with this quality of not judging, of allowing things to be as they are. Is that, yeah. So yeah, tolerance, a sense of acceptance, allowance. The only thing I would say to that is we have to be careful that we don't create a quality of shadow within ourselves. Right, okay, I need to be more tolerant. Like I was talking to an acquaintance who was very deeply Christian, and he really lives that way, and he had just, okay, I'm not gonna be judgmental anymore. And so he's going through life, you know, really loving people, and that's it's such a strong thing. But I wondered, okay, what happens to the judgment? You know, does he just kind of, you know, I'm just not gonna go there? And is that not going there creating a sense of tension? And so same thing with words like tolerance or acceptance, that we can hold them, you know, as deep aspirations and kind of as an inclination of, like almost like this way is true north. I want to go north. I want to go to tolerance. But when I come into a big cliff, I don't ignore the fact the cliff's there. Okay, I have to understand the cliff and work with the cliff. I still know where north is. I still know where that sense of tolerance is, but I don't deny the fact that there's something in the way that needs to be explored and met. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, sense of knowing. Great. What else is out there? Yes.
What you were just saying is just with the trigger being a really great one.
Okay, good.
And that is where, and I think coming out of a Christian tradition,
yeah.
I can see where I can do that and develop that shadow element.
Yeah.
Where does vulnerability, does that come into letting go of judgment at all? I'm thinking where there's reactivity or an unresolved issue relationally. Is there an element in our practice about vulnerability? Letting go.
Yes. Thank you. So the question is about, is there a quality of vulnerability in our letting go of judgment? Is that part of this? I wouldn't say tradition, I would just say this is really my alive exploration of this pattern. So sometimes it resonates, sometimes it doesn't. But I would say vulnerability is really essential. In fact, you could say it's almost a safeguard to this whole process. Because when we're judgmental toward ourselves or others, the vulnerability is not so intact, right? We've kind of built up these opinions, these ideas of how things should be or shouldn't be. But it's being very vulnerable, a sense of, okay, I'm going to set aside my defenses, my opinions, even the deepest held ones, to be open, to be vulnerable, to being sensitive, the sense of surrender. And that's some of the things I really appreciate about the Christian faith, is because there's such a sense of surrendering to something bigger than you, a sense of being vulnerable. And it's a way of really letting go of the need to be so in control, to be so isolated. So vulnerability, I think, is a beautiful expression of that. That sense of just being very... Because when we really connected with the moment's experience, if we're not controlling it, we're not trying to label it or judge it, there's a way that we are very vulnerable to it. Because often what happens when we let go of control, when we let go of labeling, fear arises, right? There's a sense of fear. Okay, what happens if I'm not controlling? So vulnerability, that willingness, the intention to be vulnerable, allows us to soften that fear, to trust, okay, it's going to be okay. Yes. 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 Yeah. That willingness, because really the sense of self is so much based on trying to control and be safe and trying to not be vulnerable. And the willingness to, okay, I'm just going to get into the waves and let the waves move me around as they will. It is a profound act of vulnerability. Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Yes. Okay, yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up. So it's the sense of allowing the moment to unfold and just allowing to be just as it is seems like it's, it's very different mode than investigating and trying to understand what's going on in a deeper way. And do you do one when you're meditating, one in daily life? And, how does that work? So, and I think it does get kind of this quality of being a little... confusing, which one are we doing? So when we do investigation, when we kind of look at these deeper states, I like to think of it as being very much led by this presence of the moment, really allowing the moment to be as it is. Almost like if you made a cake and you made it four parts, just allowing the moment to be as it is, and one part discernment, one part kind of looking investigation. That seems to be about the right ratio. So for myself, when I'm doing this, the process, like I kind of talk through it a little bit. Let's say I'm feeling like a real life experience a few weeks ago, feeling a lot of fear. Okay, the fear, and I realize, okay, I'm afraid of being judged. Okay, so I'm connecting to that sense of judgment. The judgment ties into my own self-judgment. But each of those moments of seeing, it's like it's almost like there's these different levels in the house. Okay, I start off in the attic, feeling the judgment, and I just feel it in my body. So in that moment, I'm really allowing the moment to unfold as it is. I'm being vulnerable to it, allowing it to just this is how it is. By doing that, I start to be able to actually see what that floor looks like. And then suddenly there's a sense of dropping into a deeper understanding of what's driving that, maybe a deeper foundation. It's not so much that I make it happen, but there's this conditions are ripe for that to be seen. Sometimes it's asking a question, okay, how is this serving me? Not in a way of like, how can I get rid of it by getting the answer, but how can I sincerely, okay, how is this really serving me? What's the payoff for this? And then I drop to this next level. Again, I orient to feeling my body, feeling the emotional state, so very much allowing the moment to rise just as it is. Okay, in that, then there might be a sense of deeper knowing that naturally arises, then there's a deeper dropping down. So that's how I kind of work with that. And to be honest, I tend to do it, I'm just trying to think if my experience is helpful. I would say that often walking meditation or just going for a casual walk can be a nice way to work with it. You know, feeling your body, feeling the state, you know, often it's very intense and you just keep opening to it. The movement kind of helps it stay not so hardened. But sometimes in meditation, being very still, you just, okay, this is what's arising in the moment. It's like I'm listening more and more carefully to what's arising in that moment, beyond just the sensation or the emotion, but also the thought and the perspective of self that is behind that thought and the sense of conditioning around it. All that becomes available by listening very carefully and deeply to the moment, allowing it to arise just as it is. If things start to naturally come out. Like I've used this analogy before, like going into the woods, you go in, all the critters run away because you're, you know, noisy and loud. You sit down and be still, the creatures will come back. So we sit in the middle of our experience, be very still, these subtle things just naturally show themselves. And it's not like, you know, 20 minutes and this is gonna take care of that. This might be, you know, years, it might be months. It's a process of seeing. Because there's all these different layers, these different houses that we've constructed. And the inclination, but setting the right view of compassion, leading with the heart, and setting the sense of wanting to release my position, not to establish a new dharmic position, but to release all positions. Those two things start to incline our practice in a very nice way. Yes. Okay, so the question or comment is about before, you know, deeper investigation or reflection happens, there's often a moment where I quickly get caught in thought, in judging thoughts, and I kind of like down this whole stream of more elaboration of judging. And is there a way to kind of circumvent that or to prevent that from happening or working with that? Is that a good summary? Well, it's often we have to somewhat, in some ways, back our way into it. So when you find yourself getting, you're lost in this whole pattern of judgment, as soon as you know, as soon as you become awake to it, don't rush in and judge the fact that you're judging, but actually notice, okay, what does it feel like to judge? Okay, so it's like you're stepping in right into the middle of that state. You're waking up to the middle of that state of being filled with judgment, with all the thoughts, all the emotions, but you're conscious of it. And you're seeing really, what does that landscape look like? What are the, what's the furniture in that room? What's the, you know, the texture of it, the feeling of it? And you keep doing that again and again, you become more and more aware of what that quality feels like. And you can start to feel the very beginning of that manifesting. It's like we, you know, we've kind of plopped down in the middle of this house, and we're kind of, okay, this is, the logic is judging. But we start to really feel what the house is like, we can start to notice when we start to build that house. And that's the saving grace, is that we're constantly having to rebuild these things. That's why it's so much energy. It's like we're constantly rebuilding, reconstructing. You know, through rounds of many births, I roam without reward, without rest, seeking the house builder, painful as birth again and again. Each of those moments of judgment is a rebirth. You know, within this lifetime, you keep birthing and you keep dying from that. Notice what it feels like. Okay, then you start to become more attuned to that. What if, one analogy I like to say is, from my own practice, I would be self-judging myself. Okay, I drop something, I break something. Oh, I'm such an idiot, I'm such a klutz. Why do I keep doing this? This is the third one I've broken in this 5 years. And I go on and on again. And then by connecting with it, I start to shorten that. I say, oh, well, I'm such an idiot. I pay attention to what it feels like. And then the next time, but there's, you know, it's like it has this potential. It wants to build into this whole quality of judging. But by being present with it, I don't keep going with that. And then eventually it's like, and then you just start to notice that inclination. And when you're noticing it right at the beginning of it, then there's a huge freedom of not having to go down that. Thank you. So I think it's time for announcements. So thank you for your kind attention and sincere questions.